Our Biblical Worldview Question of the Week with Nancy Fitzgerald. Is the atonement of Christ unlimited? Good morning, Nancy.
Well, good morning to both of you. And yes, this is a hot potato subject for sure. I'm telling you, nobody really wants to talk about it much. But I think it would probably be wise for us to say that this question of asking about the atonement, essentially, the atonement is the covering that we have when we believe, you know, that Christ died and rose again, and he becomes our Savior. So we are saved from the penalty of our sin, and also with the hope of going to live with God forever, not only, you know, when we become believers, but through the Spirit, but in person, face to face, when we go to heaven. So, yes, and this is, but I think when we're talking about predestination and choice and all of this stuff, it behooves us to know that this question, you know, Scripture can go either way if you take it to extremes, but this is a question that we know makes perfect sense to God. He is not worried or concerned about this issue at all, because frankly, he's sovereign and in control of all things.
Mm-hmm.
The human mind, we can't comprehend how God could know all things and yet give people choice. He gives us choice because he wants us to choose that we love him. But I think I go to Deuteronomy 29:29 all the time. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and our children forever, that we might follow all the words of the law. What he's saying here is there are things in the Bible that we don't understand. Let's just be real. And this is one of them. But I think as we work through this today, we're going to see that God makes it very, very clear his stance on wanting all people to come to him. And I think we look at Romans 5:8-10. Look, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Notice, he died for us, all human beings. And since we have now been justified by his blood, which is atonement, how much more should we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Mm-hmm. Again, a beautiful set of verses there that says, look, it's through his blood that we are reconciled.
Yeah.
But the question is whether his atonement of sin was limited to just a few that God handpicked, which is called, yes, we'll get into that in a moment.
Yeah, so will. This
idea of God handpicking, or we're free to follow, you know, Jesus through his son, or maybe it just means that everybody's going to go to heaven. Nobody's going to go to hell. All human beings don't need to have a choice, you know. So we've got three things here to talk about.
Okay, so a few years ago, I got into this protracted discussion on the telephone with a gentleman who called me at another Christian radio station where I was working, and he wanted to tell me with Scripture to back it up, everybody is going to heaven. There's just nothing to worry about, period. I don't know why you people are even discussing this. Everybody's going. So, Nancy, what does Scripture say about everybody automatically going to heaven?
Well, indeed. And the theory you're talking about is the universalist theory, believes that yes, everybody, no matter what, because Christ died 2,000 years ago, therefore everybody is going to heaven. And again, in John 3:16 provides the answer, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believes in him. So there is a condition here. God died for the sins of the world, but whosoever believes in him, they shall not perish. They will have eternal life. And in this passage, the necessary condition that limits the atonement for everyone is that. It's whosoever believes, literally in the Greek, meaning all the believing ones. So it's not unlimited. It is limited to those who believe and only those who believe. This is not a works thing. This is all about belief in the in Jesus, in the Jesus of the scriptures who died and rose again. So, yeah, there's so many scriptures that would support that, this idea that, yes, it is about belief.
Well, Nancy, there are some conflicting scriptures because we as humans can look at scripture and we can twist it to the ways that we wish it to reveal something to us. But the truth is the truth. So is everyone going to believe?
Well, no. No, they're not, because he gives us choice. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking right now of Matthew 22:23. Which, frankly, is one of the most terrifying scriptures, I think, in the New Testament. And take heed, because many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons? And in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, Jesus said, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practiced lawlessness. So again, let's just be clear. Belief means to total reliance upon that he is your Lord. He is with you. You rely on him. You spend time with him. He becomes your best friend. He's with you always. And I think the Lord is saying here to all of us, don't play games with the gospel. If you do not believe and rely upon Jesus as your Lord and Savior, there's no such thing as a cheap grace. And here, woof, yeah, Jesus is very serious about this, and we all need to take heed. Not everyone will be saved. And there's no one, there is one inescapable fact to understand: the atonement of Christ is limited. It is not unlimited. There are sadly many, many, many who will not be going to heaven, who will not be filled with the Spirit because they haven't truly believed. Mm-hmm. And you know what? This should serve to us as motivation to live out Christ and to share Christ and have discussions and friendships with people that don't know him. This is so sad to think of Scripture this way.
Hey, if you're just tuning in, we're talking with Nancy Fitzgerald of Anchors Away, Biblical Worldview Ministry based in Carmel, and it's our Biblical Worldview Question of the Week that we're discussing. And Nancy, if atonement is not unlimited because of the need to believe in Jesus for salvation, then explain, what is limited atonement?
Yes, you know, most controversial debates concerning the atonement of Jesus centers on the whole idea of this word, limited. Now, one camp, one group of people, primarily those holding to the Arminian and the Wesleyan, believe that Christ died on the cross for everyone who chooses to believe. Again, getting back to John 3:16, whoever believes. The other camp, which is Reformed thinkers, often called Calvinists, say that Jesus died for those whom the Father chose from the foundation of the world to be saved. This group of redeemed individuals is often referred to as the elect, or chosen, or God-limited atonement. And, of course, you see, I have major issues with this. God doesn't. I do, because I think this flies in the face of the very nature of God.
Well, then that begs to ask the question, which position is correct? Did Jesus die for everybody in the world when they believe in Jesus, the Savior, or for only a select group of individuals?
Yes. In the book of Acts, if we just look there, it tells that Paul preached to thousands at a time after the death and resurrection of Jesus. Salvation, if you read the accounts, was offered to all who would believe without limitations or discrimination. Repentance and faith in Jesus, clearly as the Savior, as Jesus is God, were the required responses. And that's in Matthew 21:32. You know, if Christ's death did not provide atonement for all who believe, as was promised, now catch this, then Paul, then the apostles, and even Jesus himself were offering something that most of their audiences could never receive, promising them salvation through faith and repentance, and then adding to it, only if you were chosen, would be discrediting to all that Paul preached, you know, and all that Christ taught. And quite frankly, to offer salvation to people, those people say, yes, I believe, and then you say, oops, maybe you weren't chosen, is cruel, it's evil, and that is certainly something that Christ would never espouse to, nor the apostles, especially Paul.
Well, Nancy, you know, we're going to have to jump here to the scriptural proof of this. In Ephesians 2:8, it says, for grace you have been saved through faith, and that not ourselves. It is the gift of God. So if I am going to read that, and you are going to read that, and anybody who picks up the Bible is going to see the words that God has meant for all of us, well, then I've got to believe that God is going to offer that to every one of us.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And I think we need to remember here in 2 Peter 3:9 that the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises, some count slowness, but is patient toward you. Check this out. Not wanting, not willing, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's God's will that we come to repentance.
Well, that is part of Christ's sacrifice, and it is sufficient to pay for all of sin, and that the offer of salvation is for all. It's our invitation for others to accept Christ, and it should come from the heart of the scriptures. And just lastly on this, but as many who has received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And that is such an important thing. Nancy, so, so grateful for this question this week. Yes, it can divide. It can create schisms. It can split whole churches. But the people of God will always be the people of God.